The scripture reading this morning is from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. Future glory. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its enslavement to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together as it suffers together the pains of labor. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what one already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 35. Jesus is named. When the eighth day came, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus is presented in the temple. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Let me share with you a story about a condemned man whose days were being counted in prison. One day before his execution, he was asked what he wanted for his last meal. He said, All I want is a big, juicy watermelon. The warden complained, Oh, come on, it's December. How am I going to get you a watermelon? Don't worry about it, warden, said the condemned man. I am willing to wait until next year. For this man's waiting case, the longer, the better. For most of us, however, waiting is an ordeal rather than a good deal. Waiting is a hassle, headache, and inconvenience. Waiting can be boring, time-consuming, wasting, and it takes up a lot of patience. And now we are living in this same-day service era. Everything got to be fast and now. Everything got to be quick and instant. When I first came to the United States in early 1980s, I was amazed at how much Americans patiently wait in the line, especially such long lines. For example, at Disneyland, I remember I waited about 2 hours in the line and finally got into a ride. The ride lasted only for 5 minutes. Wow, waiting 2 hours, sometimes more, for a 5 minute ride? That was a culture shock to me. Unbelievable. Well, still today, patiently waiting has become a part of our everyday life. What about the traffic, especially during the rush hour? At least those traffic jams are expected to happen every single day. But you can never know when there could be any unexpected delay due to an auto accident, construction, road closures, and so forth. I'm sure many of you have had some worst waiting experiences in the traffic or on some other occasions. How do you feel about waiting for a long time? About 25 years ago, when I was serving at Barstow First United Methodist Church as pastor, there was a church conference with the district superintendent, the Reverend David Tinoco, who was Riverside District Superintendent at that time. Probably some of you might remember him. The Reverend Tinoco was a wonderful and faithful man of God and is now with the Lord. I know his daughter, Teresa, and her husband, Sean, and their daughters are still our church members. And I also know that Riverside District office was located here at our church campus. Anyhow, it happened to be a Sunday afternoon when he was trying to come back home to his home in San Bernardino after having presided the church conference from Barstow. That night, I got a call around 11 p.m. from Reverend Tinoco saying, "Pastor JT, I got home safely now. I left Barstow around 2 p.m. and it has taken me 9 hours to get home." You know, many Las Vegas visitors go home normally on Sunday afternoon through I-15 freeway, plus there may have been serious accidents on the way. Wow, that must be a horrifying experience, waiting in the traffic. How can you endure such a long time in the bad traffic? If I were there being stuck in the traffic for 9 hours, I don't know about you, but I would go crazy, right? Normally, for most people, waiting is not pleasant. We just celebrated Christmas last week. Children cannot wait until Christmas morning to open their present, right? The truth is that they are no different from us, and we all would not wait. It's got to be done now, especially as we are living in this modern days. However, from the Bible, we read many waiting cases, especially on Christmas. The nation of Israel had to wait thousands of years for the Messiah to come and deliver them. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, for failing to believe the words of God, had to wait 9 months to speak again. Joseph and Mary had to wait at least as long as for the birth of their son after the announcement from the angel Gabriel. And the Magi, the wise men, waited around 24 months before they were finally able to see him. We know that Advent is a waiting season. However, Christmas indeed is a season of waiting too. This morning, gospel lesson is from Luke's passage after the birth of Christ. So it is a post-Christmas story. It is a story about a faithful and patient man called Simeon, who waited a whole lifetime for Christ to be born. Even though the Bible does not mention about his age, many Bible scholars agree that he must have been over 100. Wow. Simeon seemed to have only one goal in his entire lifetime, and that was to see the Messiah, meaning Savior. Simeon is an amazing man of God. Simeon is one of the most important biblical characters, especially this post-Christmas season. What does the Bible say about Simeon? There are at least three facts about him. Number one, Simeon was righteous and devout. Verse 25 from Luke records, this man was righteous and devout. When the nation Israel was going through a time of despair, hopelessness, darkness, yet Simeon remained righteous and devout. This phrase, righteous and devout, reminds us of a special man of God from Genesis. Yes, his name is Noah. Even though everyone on the whole planet was sinning against God, Noah, however, was righteous in the sight of the Lord. So he and his family were saved from the great flood so that God could start the earth all over again through Noah and his family. Simeon, just as Noah, was a man of God in the midst of darkness. And we also are called to be righteous and devout in the midst of darkness, chaos, and divisions. Number two, Simeon was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. In the same verse 25, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. The expression, the consolation of Israel, refers to the coming of the Messiah. God spoke through prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 41, comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Throughout history, the Israelites were going through a long period of time of turmoil, agony, and oppression caused by the foreign nations beyond their control. They were truly longing for a Savior who could set them free from all kinds of bondage and occupations. For Simeon, from the gospel time, his life goal was to see the Messiah in person in the midst of the Roman occupation and oppression. He was so thrilled and awed by the indescribable joy of seeing the baby Messiah. And we, Christians, should be grateful and joyful always because of the greatest gift of Christ Jesus from God. And amazingly, the baby Jesus is God himself. Joy to the world. Yes, joy to you and joy to me. Number three, the Holy Spirit rested on Simeon. Yes, again, in the same verse 25 says, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. Simeon was a spirit-filled man of God because he was always trying to let the Holy Spirit work in his heart. God showed him all kinds of spiritual things or revelations. The following verse, 26, says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. It was a revelation from God that he will see the Messiah before his death. Amazing. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, we can continue sustaining our lives, trying to make differences in our own lives and in other people's lives. Here is a serious question that we can ponder. Is the world getting better to live in or getting worse? Maybe both, maybe not. We read all kinds of bad news around the world. It feels that the whole world is full of evil and hatred. Some people are becoming extremely hateful towards other people. We are fed up with hearing all kinds of anti-hate words such as anti-Semitic, anti-Palestinian, anti-Asian, anti-gay, anti-transgenders, anti-religion, or many other anti-whatever. Those haters not only speak hatred words, but also terrorize, attack, and harm so many innocent victims. Especially if a group of people, so-called a community of believers, become extremely judgmental and hateful, I don't think God would want to be in that hate group. No. For example, we remember in 2012 when there was a shooting rampage tragedy happened in Newtown, Connecticut. It happened at a Sandy Hook Elementary School. I'm sure you all remember that. 20 children and 6 teachers and staff were killed by the killer after having killed his own mother. Then the 20-year-old killer, Adam Lanza, killed himself. This was one of the deadliest school mass shooting tragedies happened in U.S. history. What's worse was that the members of Westboro Baptist Church, they are independent Baptists who are super, ultra, extreme fundamentalists in Topeka, Kansas, were planning to go to Newtown, Connecticut, to picket, saying that the tragedy was a result of God's punishment for the people's sins. I do not believe the shooting rampage was a God's punishment. It was one of the most horrifying human tragedies. I believe on that day, God was weeping with us also. See, we are living in the world of so much hatred, unrighteousness, and injustice. We learn from the Bible. The darker the world is becoming, the brighter we can be the light of God. In Genesis, when the whole world was going bad, God saved Noah and his family so that they could begin a new world. Sodom and Gomorrah were corrupting. God saved Abraham and his families during the time of wicked King Ahaz. God sent Isaiah. In King Zedekiah's time, Jeremiah was sent by God. When the Israelites were in exiles, God even sent Ezekiel and Daniel as the light of God's people. When King Ahab was sinning against God, God sent the prophet Elijah. We all know the story of Elijah. He was scared to death by the threat of killing him by the wicked Queen Jezebel and the King Ahab. He faced fears and dangers. However, by God's grace, he waited, waited, and waited for God's presence. Eventually, he was able to regain his strength through the confidence that no matter what, God was with him. He waited for God, and he encountered with God. His wait was worth for his lifetime. My sisters and brothers in Christ, sometimes God calls you to do something right away. No delays, no excuses, or no relaxation. However, sometimes in very critical times, God commands you to wait. Just wait. Don't do anything. Don't plan anything. Don't go before God does. Just wait. Wait for God's voice. Isaiah 30:18 says, "For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him." Psalm 27:14, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." Isaiah 40:31, "But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." As you can see these passages, the phrase "wait for the Lord" means have hope in God and have faith in God. Let me close my sermon with a story about a gardener in Italy. A lovely villa rests on the shores of a beautiful Lake Como in the Italian Alps. Some tourists complimented the trusted old gardener who had maintained the grounds for years. "The owner must come here frequently," one said. "No, sir," the gardener replied. He has been here only once in 15 years, and then I did not see him." "But how do you get your orders?" "From the owner's agent, who lives in Milan." Then he must come here often?" "No, not often. Perhaps once a year or so." The tourist was amazed. "You have no one to supervise your work, and the grounds are as neat as if you expected the owner to come back tomorrow." The old gardener firmly replied, "Today, sir, not tomorrow, but today." The gardener was faithful to his trust. My friends in Christ, as we are concluding the year 2025 in just a few days, and as we are anticipating the new year 2026, are you and I going to be just as faithful to God, to each other, not only the coming of Christ, but also to our church, the body of Christ? Christmas Day is over, but Christmas Day is still coming again. Christ is coming again. We wait the day with our joyful and grateful heart here and now. Psalm 136:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Thanks be to God. And all the God's people say, Amen.